avid fisherman pulling two great big buckets full of good-sized bass out of Smith Mountain Lake not too long ago, and he was stopped by the game warden. The game warden said, "May I see your license?" The man sat the buckets down and said, "I'm sorry, sir. I didn't know I would need a license. You see, these are pet fish." Game warden said, "Pet fish? I've never heard of such a thing." He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I bring these fish down during the day, and I let them swim around a little bit, and then I whistle, and they jump back in the bucket, and I take them back home." Game warden said, "That's the biggest fish tale I've ever heard." The man said, "No, sir, it's really true. It worked." He said, "Well, I'd like to see this," the game warden said. He said, "Well, let me show you." So he poured the fish back into the lake, set the buckets down. He stood there. They stood about 10 minutes. Game warden finally said, "Well?" The man said, "Well, what?" "Well, when are you going to call them back?" "Call who back?" "The fish." "What fish?" There are thousands where that came from. There are almost as many fish tales as there are fish. And I don't doubt for one minute that Peter and Andrew and James and John told fish tales as they plied their trade on the Sea of Galilee. Peter certainly would have some to tell. Later, he would tell about the time that he was invited by the rabbi and went traipsing off across the Sea of Galilee until he began to ask himself and say, "Well, Peter, what are you doing? You're ridiculous. You can't walk on water." He sank, and Jesus had to rescue him. Or the time they were fishing, they'd fished all night, hadn't caught a thing. The rabbi from the shore said, "Throw the net on the other side of the boat." And they threw the net, and they caught so many fish they couldn't pull it onto the boat. It was so full. It's not an accident that Jesus called as his first disciples four fishermen. And sometimes we do these fishermen a disservice if we're not careful. We tend to identify them as we sang in our hymn, poor, simple fisher folk. And we think, well, they didn't have anything to lose by accepting Jesus' invitation. And yet these were highly successful businessmen. Peter and Andrew and James and John earned their living, a good livelihood, by fishing. Peter had a boat. Most people who fished on the Sea of Galilee didn't have a boat. James and John and their father Zebedee not only had a boat, they had a fleet of boats. So they were making a good living. Jesus does not call just those who don't have anything to lose to be his disciples. He calls very successful people and asks that they give glory and honor to God for that success. Jesus invited Peter and Andrew, James and John, said, "Follow me, and I will make you catch people for me and for the kingdom." Now, I read an interview not some time back from a successful bass fisherman. It's almost unbelievable that we now people can earn a good living catching fish. The interviewer asked him if he had any secrets. "What's the secret to your success as a bass fisherman?" He said, "I try to remember three things. One, keep myself out of the way. Two, I try to know as much about the bait as I do about the fish. And three, I have to learn to be patient. Now, I believe that those three things that successful bass fisherman learned are the same things that Jesus saw in Peter and Andrew, James and John. The qualities that are needed to be a successful fisherman also translate to being a successful catcher of people for discipleship. The first, the bass fisherman said, is keep yourself out of the way. You can't catch many fish if you want to be seen. If your desire is to be noticed, you're not going to catch many fish. I don't know about you, but I always grab for my billfold when a ministry that's named after a person comes looking for me. Because generally what happens is that if it's successful, ego gets in the way and all kinds of justifications and defenses for the extravagances are heard. And when we are found to be people with feet of clay, the claim that God has on people is hurt because they're given an excuse for not giving of their time and their energy and their talent, their possessions for the spread of the kingdom. So we have to be careful. If we want to be seen, we're not going to be really sick. We don't point to ourselves. We point to the one who calls. So we have to keep ourselves out of the way. We're not calling attention to ourselves. St. Paul said, it's not ourselves we proclaim, but Christ Jesus as Lord. And we sometimes forget how that verse continues. And ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. It's not ourselves we proclaim. We proclaim Christ Jesus. So if we want to be successful, we have to keep ourselves out of the way. He also said you got to know as much about the bait as you do about the fish. Well, how do we learn about the bait if we need at least to be involved in regular discipline of Bible study and prayer and worship? Sad sometimes in our church that people think, well, they can give up their need to know anything about the bait after they're confirmed. It is a lifelong process, Jesus said, to learn about the will of God for our lives. So he asks that we know about the bait and also about the fish. It's perfectly proper for us to be informed by the disciplines of sociology and psychology and anthropology. That ought to inform and form our theology. We need to know about human nature. We need to know that not every way of advertising or offering the bait is going to catch every single fish. I have a good friend who's a retired Virginia State Trooper. And he always said when he was active and working for the Commonwealth that he would stop somebody for speeding. And he would say, well, I wasn't the only one speeding. He said, well, no, but said, when you go fishing, do you catch all the fish? We need to know about the bait and about the fish. And then he said, you need to learn to be patient. If I have a glaring character defect, it would be that I'm not patient enough. It's better than it was, but I've still got a ways to go. I do not sometimes understand why people can't see my brilliant point of view and live accordingly. The world would be so much better off if they did. Well, I have to be patient. And patience is an acquired skill. I don't think we're born with it. We're born with these massive instinctual drives, which tell us we want what we want when we want it. But through prayerful discipline, we can learn to be patient. We can practice daily, turning our will and our life over to the care of God, allowing God to provide the guidance and the strength, the purpose, the meaning, and help us become more patient. Sometimes God sends little reminders to me, and I hope to you, that God does not want people to see our footprints, but His. Look for His footprints, His leading. That's why Jesus invited His disciples, both then and now. Follow me. Don't walk in front. Don't think you know the way. I'll lead. You follow. Walk in my footsteps. We can learn to do that and become more effective evangelists, which we're called to be. Every single person who acknowledges Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is called to be an evangelist, a bearer of the good news, and a fisher for others, to bring others, invite them. You ever notice that not one person has ever been successful arguing somebody from a position of unfaith to faith? We do it by demonstrating by the life we live, what God in Christ means to us. So, want to be more successful? Now, I know that this is difficult in the Episcopal Church sometimes. Our statistics are that each Episcopalian invites somebody else to church every 22 years. We got to do better than that. If we hear this call, follow me, and I will help you fish for others. We have to be the mouth, the example, the word in the world. Otherwise, others don't see it. So, if we want to be more successful, we have to keep ourselves out of the way. It's not ourselves we proclaim. We have to learn as much about the bait as we do about the fish, and we have to learn to be patient. If we will do that, we don't have to worry about our buckets full of fish. They'll be full, and we certainly won't want to call them pet fish.